Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your host for this weekly Bible teaching broadcast. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using electronic and print media to share God's Word around the world. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying Luke chapter 17 and verses 1 through 19. Our study is titled Kingdom Character. So far, we've looked at three character traits of those who possess kingdom character. Here they are: sincerity, generosity, and faith. And now today, we'll add another character trait, humility. As we resume our study, I will read the text, Luke chapter 17 and verses 1 to 19. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Genuine faith is the ability to embrace as fact things we cannot see. Every human being exercises faith every day in the process of living. But many of these same people see faith in spiritual matters as a blind leap into the dark. But they're wrong. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And in the very familiar verse, John 3:16, Jesus said, "Whoever believes or exercises faith in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I know this is true because of my own personal experience and because of the testimony of thousands of other people whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel. Now, if you and I lack faith in God, we'll have a narrow view of life. And when we have a narrow view of life, we tend to focus on ourselves. We think about what's best for us, what we enjoy, and how we can make our life better or easier. A lack of faith says, you must look out for yourself because nobody else will. But God's word assures you and me that He's always watching out for us. He directs the events of our lives to bless others through us. He orders the events of our lives in a way that will glorify Him. And He plans the events of our lives in order to reproduce the character of Christ in us. When God allows difficulty or offenses in my life, I often want to say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't what I had in mind. I think I can manage this better on my own. When I'm offended, it takes faith to believe that God can lead the other person to repentance, or barring that, to settle the accounts on the judgment day. God sees our lives from beginning to end. We only see the moment. Faith trusts Him for the outcome He wants, not the outcome we want. And it also takes faith to develop and exercise generosity, especially generosity and forgiveness. But we're often afraid that if we forgive, the offender might just take advantage of us again. Now, it's true, wisdom may require that we remove ourselves from a physically dangerous situation. But often, we just want to insulate ourselves from the offenses of others. And we're often fearful of the response, if we follow Jesus' instruction, to rebuke our offender. It takes faith to believe that God can use the offenses of others to draw us closer to Him. If you don't believe that, read the Psalms. David was unjustly pursued by his enemies, and God could have struck them down, every one of them. In fact, David even asked God to do that. But God often left David suffer, so he learned to put his faith and confidence in Him. My friend, I'm like the disciples. Faith is a kingdom character trait I need more of. How about you? The next kingdom character trait is humility. Let's suppose the disciples are taking to heart what Jesus is teaching. If they're able to live without offense and extend forgiveness beyond what was normally expected, if the quality of their faith improved dramatically, did that then entitle them to special merit in God's eyes? Wouldn't they have something to boast about? The Pharisees believed and taught that God was obligated to reward them for their piety and their good deeds. But let's see what Jesus had to say. In verses 7 to 10, Jesus speaks of a slave's relationship to his master. After the slave has spent all day in the field or pasture, he returns to the house at evening. But his master doesn't tell him to go to his quarters and relax and enjoy his meal. No, he tells him to get the food ready, change to a fresh set of clothes, and then wait on me until I finish my meal. Then when you're finished serving me, you can go and have your own supper. When the slave has performed all his duties to the satisfaction of the master, will the master thank him? Jesus says, most certainly not. And then he continues by saying to the disciples, when you have done all these things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable slaves. We have only done our duty. What was Jesus really saying? When you've done all these things, when you've avoided offending others, when you've forgiven unconditionally, and when you've exercised genuine faith, then as a disciple, you have only done what was expected. There's no special reward for simply doing what you should. You've only fulfilled your obligations. Cosmo Lang wrote, "The only limit to the servant's duty is his master's will. There is no point at which he can choose for himself to claim he has done enough and is entitled to ease. The servant is always a debtor of service. The master is never a debtor of reward. God will not be put in the debt of anyone." In addition to asking what Jesus meant, we might also ask why he spoke these words. Was he seeking to counteract the subtle poison of self-righteousness that was creeping into the hearts of the disciples? You know, they had earlier asked him about what they would have for following him, and we also know they argued about position. Have you ever had those kinds of prideful thoughts? That because you did or didn't do certain things, God should take special notice of you? I have. Now, Jesus certainly promised rewards for faithful service in other settings, and he's not contradicting himself here. His point is, God is under no obligation to reward us. He will reward us because he chooses to, not because he owes it to us. He will reward us because of his generous love for us, and we in turn should serve him solely on the basis of our love for him. We have no merit with God other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, you and I must develop and exercise the kingdom character trait of humility. The writer of Proverbs says pride is an abomination, a hateful thing to the Lord, and it leads to destruction. Oh, how often we've seen that in our families, in our churches, and in our communities. The Apostle James reminds us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you're a proud person, you will surely give offense to others, especially to those who are weak in the faith, and you won't care. Your response will be something like this: if they don't like it, that's tough. Neither will you be able to forgive as Jesus asks you to forgive. You won't ask others for forgiveness because you're not wrong, and you won't grant forgiveness because you see yourself as better than your offenders. And if you're proud, you won't need faith either. You'll just depend on yourself. The kingdom character trait of humility helps us see that even after all we've done for God, we can never repay the debt we owe. Even if we were able to perform our duty perfectly, and obviously we can't, we're still destitute of merit before God. He doesn't deal with us on the ground of merit, but on the ground of his grace. The poet Tennyson said it well: "For merit lives from man to man, and not from man, O Lord, to thee." My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week so we can continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdom Character. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdom Character. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of this teaching, Kingdom Character. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next time as we continue our study, Kingdom Character. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.